tonight we're going to discuss Hezek She'ein Nikr. The topic of the shiur was damage with pretzel crumbs. The reason that was the topic is that was what got me onto this topic. Was an episode that happened this week on Sunday. Yeah, on Sunday at the parade, as we were marching up Fifth Avenue in the rain, one of the Rebbeim in DRS showed me a picture on his phone that his wife had taken of a product that she had purchased at one of the local kosher supermarkets. And it was a breading for chicken, but it was a pretzel crumb breading. And he showed me, look carefully at the package. There's a big picture of chicken on the front of the package. There's a recipe for chicken on the back of the package. And on the bottom it said, okay, dairy, on the package. He said the chicken that they made with it was delicious, but they made chicken with something that was okay dairy. Now, it's important to note, an OU dairy is different than an okay dairy, because an OU dairy, half the time, doesn't really even mean dairy. Very often it means dairy equipment, which you're not allowed to make on chicken either. But an okay dairy, the okay does use dairy equipment when DE, when there is dairy equipment. So in all likelihood, this was actual dairy. I notified the VAD, and we figured out which supermarket it was, and they just pulled it from the shelf. Not really sure why the OK gave the Hashgach on it, but whatever it is, it's no longer available. I mentioned this to my shir in yeshiva the other day, and a kid texted me a picture from his pantry of his father also bought the product, and they were going to use it for the chicken. Then I mentioned it to my mother today. She's going to Israel tonight, so I went to say goodbye, and she also went into her cabinet and pulled out the same. So apparently it's a popular product. Every time I mention it, I figured it's kedai to mention. I should probably send a shul email about it. But it got me thinking about the sugi of Hezek She'ein Nikr. Why did it get me thinking about the sugi of Hezek She'ein Nikr? Because we were learning Baba Kama. We just started Baba Kama recently. And we're discussing what if you damage someone. We're talking about the different types of Avos Nezikin, the different lists of Avos Nezikin. So how many Avos Nezikin are there? First Mishnah Baba Kama says that there are four Avos Nezikin, but there are two alternative lists that the Gemara mentions, that there may be 13 Avos Nezikin, there may be 24 Avos Nezikin. So on one of the lists of Avos Nezikin, we have added Mitame Midame Minaseh. We have added, if someone is Mitame, someone else's item, someone is Midame, he mixes Truma and Chulin together, or he's Minaseh, he takes someone else's wine, and he's Minaseh it for Avodah Zarah. So is that an Av Nezikin or not? Is that something that a person is Chayiv? Well, whether it's something a person's chayiv to pay for may be a separate issue than whether it's an av nezikin. But it got me thinking about, I guess I was just intrigued by it because of this this episode that happened. Like, what would happen if you'd make chicken with for somebody, someone ask you to bread the chicken for them, and you breaded it with those breadcrumbs. So you have now ossered their chicken. Now, you haven't really destroyed their chicken. The chicken is delicious. It's fantastic. But you have made it osser. So to what extent do we assume that you're chayiv to pay for damages on such a thing? Now, in this case, a store selling it would probably not be chayiv to pay for anything because it does say, you know, on the package in pretty clear print, okay, dairy. It's just no one would ever think that you have to check, you know, chicken breadcrumbs for whether it's dairy or not. But they do have a pretty clear, they do have it somewhat clearly labeled. It's interesting, the Mashkiach I spoke to, the Mashkiach in Gourmet Glot, which is not the store that had it, but the Mashkiach in Gourmet Glot is mamish on top of everything, because at first the guy told me he got it at Gourmet Glot because his wife normally shops there. So the Mashkiach called me up and he was all upset. He said, one time they ordered it in December of 2013, and I made it, like, he was mamish on top of like every detail. And he said that when something like this happens, if they, for whatever reason, have trouble sending a product back, like, for example, recently the cooking spray, Pam, there are different types. There's Pam for grilling, Pam for baking, Pam. So one is Pam with butter. So it used to be Pam with butter didn't really have butter and it wasn't milchiks, but they just changed it. Now it's actually milchiks. So they told the stores, you know, probably just best not to order it because it's people are used to the old way and they're not gonna know. But one of the stores had already ordered it and already so they made them not. They didn't rely on the label dairy on the thing because no one's checking it. They've been using it for years. They made them take nor did they just put up a sign, which is what I thought they would do. Just put up a sign. These things are dairy because no one reads the sign, and even if you do read the sign, you forget about the sign by the time you bring it home. They made up stickers, big stickers labeled dairy to put on each and every individual can, so that when you use it, you'll notice that it's dairy. But anyway, so got me on the sugya of hezek she'enu nikar. So we're going to talk a little bit about hezek she'enu nikar. The primary hezek she'enu nikar really comes up in three different places in Shas. It comes up in here in Maseches Baba Kama, we just had recently in the Daf Yomi. It comes up in Maseches Baba Basra Daf Beis, and it comes up in Maseches Gittin on Daf Nun Gimel. I just recently purchased a sefer, a two-volume sefer called Mishpat Hamazik, Dine Adam Hamazik, all about the dinim of a person doing hezek. One volume is Adam Hamazik Bahalacha, and the other volume is an analysis of the sugyas of Maseches Baba Kama dealing with Nezikin. Very, very thorough, very excellent sefer. All the marmakomos from tonight's shir pretty much are based on what he has in this sefer. I apologize, the actual marmakom packet is not exactly thorough. There were a number of makoros that just weren't on the Bar Ilan, and I didn't really have time to track them all down. But anyway, let's take a look at the sugya. So first, just some introductory issues when it comes to hezek she'enu nikar. Hezek she'enu nikar is a unique type of damage, because it's a type of damage where if you would do it to anyone else on earth other than a Jew, they wouldn't even be upset. They would say they wouldn't affect them at all. If you were to be menaseich someone's wine, avodah zarah, and the person doesn't care, the person is not interested in halacha, so it's not damage. If you were to burn down someone's warehouse of wine, then everyone cares, Jew and non-Jew alike. Normally, when we deal with nezikin, it's the kind of thing that affects everybody and that everybody could understand that it's actual damage. But over here, by hezek she'enu nikar, we're dealing with things that are ritual damages. They're not even physical damages. I was at a bar mitzvah this week. I was at two bar mitzvahs this week, but one bar mitzvah that wasn't my son's. And someone came over to me at the bar mitzvah and said that he's just very bothered. Just very, very bothered why it is that hezek she'enu nikar is lo shmei hezek. Meaning that you took someone's item, they now can't use it at all. So what's the pshat? Why is it that you're not responsible? You damaged it. It's not even grama or garmi. You didn't do it indirectly. You did it very directly, very clearly. Big havana. And yet you're going to say that that's lo shmei hezek. So let's go back to the beginning. Where does all this start? Really, it starts in the sugya in Gittin, Daf Nun, Gimel, and Beis. We're not going to read the whole sugya inside. But essentially what the Gemara comes out with is that all Amoraim agree to the halacha, what the halacha will be if someone does a hezek she'enu nikar. The halacha is, if you do it b'mezid, you're going to be chayiv, and if you do it b'shogeg, you're going to be pater on hezek she'enu nikar. The machlokas is, why? What's the svara? Why is it that there's a difference between mezid and shogeg? Because this is it breaks all the rules of Adam HaMazik. Normally in Adam HaMazik, bein shogeg, bein mezid, bein ones, bein ratzon, yasha, it doesn't make a difference. You can be awake, you can be sleeping, and you're chayiv for adam amazik. Okay, we have the proviso that the Yerushalmi adds, the Tosfos quotes from the Yerushalmi, that if you're sleeping but you really did nothing wrong, you went to sleep in a perfectly safe environment, and then someone brought some fragile vase and puts it next to you while you're sleeping, so then you're not going to be chayiv to pay. But short of that, you're always chayiv when you're an adam amazik. So it's a very big chiddush that hezek she'enu nikar, all of a sudden, as soon as you're shogeg, you're going to be pater. So there are two explanations that the Gemara has in Maseches Gittin. One of them is that really, 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 on a Torah level, what is hezek she'enu nikar? Hezek she'enu nikar is not hezek at all. Meaning, really, it's just simply not called damaging, because damage is defined by what you have physically done to someone else's property. If you haven't physically harmed someone else's property, then you have done no damage to their property. And therefore, it's really not hezek at all. It just doesn't fit into the gedarim of hezek that the Torah sets out. Is it a good thing to do? No. Is it an act of rishos? Yes, absolutely. Is it a nisa d'oraisa? We'll discuss. Maybe a nisa d'oraisa, maybe a nisa d'rabbanan. You're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to go around with the sheretz, being metame, everyone's truma. Even, certainly you're not getting any mitzvahs for that. But me'ikra din, it's lo shmei hezek, Rabbi Yochanan argues. But the chachamim were concerned of a person committing halachic terrorism, that a person is going to go around and he's going to be metame everybody's things and say, oh, lo shmei hezek, so it's not my problem, I don't have to pay for it. So the Chum made a knas that if you do it b'mezid, you're gonna have to pay for it. So it's a special knas midrabanan, that you go and you do it on purpose, then you're going to have to pay for it. Why didn't they... So they made a knas that if you do it b'mezid, you're gonna have to pay for it. Now, the the normal rule when we talk about a knas midrabanan is that currently, now that we don't have batei dinim with dayanim smuchim anymore, the normal din by dinim midrabanan by dinei knasos is that we are no longer dan dinei knasos. If a man rachman al son is ma'anes and nara, there is no longer a knas that gets paid. It's a terrible thing to do, again, and I'm sure we've come up with other ways of makan va'onshin shalom in adin if we have the ability to do so. But, we'd prosecute him lacking the ability to deal with it in Bezin, we'd prosecute him in secular courts. But we don't impose knasos anymore. So what about this? A person does hezek shena nikr bizman hazeh, and we'll see that there may be practical examples of hezek shena nikr, things that that people could do to ruin other people's items. You know, there was rumors going around when I was in yeshiva that in one of the yeshivas that one of the boys was angry at the yeshiva, they threw him out or something, and without telling anyone, he went and he poured milk in the chalent or something, and he trafed up everything, and then he told them, like, much later, that, oh, by the way, everything you ate that whole Shabbos and all your pans and everything is not kosher. But everyone had a delicious meal, and everyone enjoyed the chalent, and it was excellent. So is that something that he would be chayv to pay for? Because he has halachically ruined those things. So Rabbi Yochanan again says, lo shmei hezek, but the Rabbanan are going to make a din, a knas. Now, do we impose this knas bezman hazeh? So this is 2 days in a shach in Choshen Mishpat. The shach quotes the name of Mordechai that yes, because otherwise, what's the, you know, the I'm sorry, the whether we still do it bezman hazeh, I think everyone agrees that yes, we still do bezman hazeh. The shach discusses another interesting point. What the shach discusses is the following. What the shach discusses is normally there's a din of modu b'knas pater. If a person is chayiv knas and he walks into Beis and says, guess what, I did this. Now we can no longer impose the knas on him. We can only impose the knas when we caught him, we prosecute him, and we find him guilty. That's a knas. When it's a mamun payment, you owe someone money because you cost them money, so you owe them money. So then it doesn't, if you're modu b'mamun, if you admit that you stole $100 from somebody, you got to pay them $100. It doesn't make a difference. Being moda doesn't help. But moda b'knas is pater. So what if a person is moda on a hezek shena nikr? If, assuming like Rabbi Yochman, the hezek shena nikr is really lav shmei hezek, so really you wouldn't have to pay. So you go and you are metame, every kohen you know, you go to his truma, you take a little sheretz, and you're metame all of his truma. And then you go and you're moda. And you're moda that you did it. So now we're going to say, okay, even though you did it b'mezi, you're pater. So the Shach quotes Deos on this, and he says one possibility is that it has to be Chayiv. Why does it have to be Chayiv? Because otherwise, Mahu ilu chacham b'takanasa. What was the point? Why did the Rabbanan say that a hezek sheinu nikr, even though it's really lo shmei hezek, you're going to have to pay if you did it b'mezid? Why? What's the svara? So we said, because we don't want someone committing halachic terrorism. We don't want someone going around and being and ruining everyone else's things halachically and then just saying, oh, hezek shenu nikr, I'm pater. So we said, you're going to be chayiv. But if you could just be moda and be pater, well then the whole takana is useless, because what could a person do? He could just go and be metame, commit his halachic terrorism, be metame everything, and then quickly, before anyone notices, run to Beis Din, show up and say, I did it, I did it, I did it. And that's it. And then it'll be pater, because moda b'knas is pater. So that's ridiculous. We can't have a din where you could, the whole purpose of the din, you could just so easily get around the din. So that's what the Shach points out in Simon Shin Pei Ches. But that's all Rabbi Yochanan's Shita. Chizkiya takes the opposite view. Chizkiya's view is that really hezek sheinu nikr is shmei hezek. So really you damage something in a non-physical way, and we'll have to define hezek nikr, hezek sheinu nikr. That's really the crux of the shir, of what the shir is going to be primarily about, how to define it. But whatever it is, really it's called damage. It is shmei hezek. But the Chacham said, if you do it b'shogeg, you're going to be pater. Why? What would motivate them to say, if you do it b'shogeg, you're going to be pater? Meaning, if I destroy your car, yeah, I did it b'shogeg. I was playing baseball too close to your car, and I hit a line drive, and it went right through the window of your car. So I did that b'shogeg. I'm chayiv. I'm absolutely chayiv. We don't have a din when you're mazik b'shogeg that you're pater. So why by hezek sheinu nikr? Where's the ketan d'oraisa? Where's the svara that all of a sudden by hezek sheinu nikr you do b'shogeg and you're going to be chayiv? So the explanation that Chizkia gives, that the Gemara Maseches Gittin explains, is that if I break your car b'shogeg, there's no reason, and of course I'm going to be chayiv because you know your car is broken. You don't need me to tell you that your car is broken. You know that you have a problem. You know that it needs to get fixed. So if you find out, then you'll start researching who did it, and you find out that it was me, then I'm going to have to pay for it. But if I was metame your truma, and you weren't looking when I was metame your truma, so you know, I'm not going to tell you. If I'm going to have to pay for it, I'm certainly not going to tell you. So the Chum thought that as a way to help motivate people to do the right thing, and to inform the person that their truma is tame, or that their yayin is yayin nesach, or that he's been medameir their truma, as a way of motivating him to do the right thing, we're going to let him off the hook. This is very similar to a concept we have when it comes to stealing things. There's a concept called takanas hashavim. Normally, if I steal something, I have to return the exact item that I stole. I can't replace it with a similar item. I have to give you exactly the same item that I stole as if it's still intact. But let's say I steal a giant beam and I build a building and it's somewhere between the second and the third floor of a 15-story building. So what, I have to rip apart the entire building, pull out that beam and give it back to you? So Chazal made it, takanas hashavim. Now you don't have to do that because no one will ever do tshuva then. No one's going to want to rip apart the whole building. So they said, okay, in that case, you could just pay back the money. You don't have to rip apart the entire building. So this is a very similar concept. To motivate the person to want to do tshuva, to motivate the person to do the right thing, and to admit to what he has done, so Chazal made a rule that b'shogeg is mipater. So it's amazing, because here you have everyone agrees as to what the halacha is, but it's completely opposite views in terms of how the Torah views Hazak Sheinu Neker. I mean, everyone agrees, b'mezid you're going to be chayiv, b'shogeg you're going to be pater. But Rabbi Yochanan says, that's because Hazak Sheinu Neker is really a nothing, it's really nothing that you're going to be chayiv for at all, because there's no physical damage. And Chizkiah says, no, really it's everything, really it's just as bad as regular Hazak. It's just we have to make an exception, because it's worse. It's in a sense, it's worse than regular Hazak, because regular Hazak, at least the victim knows that he's been victimized. But you go and you make something non-kosher, you make something and he has no idea that he's been victimized. So it's worse, and that's why we have to make him part of a shogeg, so that he can inform him.
Why just shogeg? I mean, is it also, we want, you know, just like the concept of shogeg for, right, the gaver was bemazed.
So, good.
Away,
so
that he does the
why would he do it bemazed? The Gemara deals with, why would he do it bemazed? What kind of person does such a thing? He's going to go and he's going to make his very religious neighbor, who's a Kohen, he's going to go and make his truma tame. Why would you do that, b'mezid?
He wants to trip him up.
Yeah, he wants to get him upset. He wants to, you know, of what value is it if the guy doesn't know? Meaning, if I really want to get you, I better tell you what I did. Otherwise, well, I'm going to sit there chuckling while you're eating the thing, and like it doesn't help. So it's only valuable if I'm doing it b'mezid, it's because I'm a vicious, awful person that wants you to know that because of your religious beliefs, you can't have this. But it doesn't help if you don't know. So that's the svara for Chizkiah. So how do we paskin? So the Rambam's pretty clear in Chavul HaMazik. The Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yochanan. Source number two: HaMazik Mamun Chaveru Hezek Sheinu Nikar Hol V'lo Nishtana Adavar. The item hasn't changed, it hasn't lost its basic form. Hareza pater minatashlumin din Torah. Mida uraisa your pater entirely. Aval midivri sofrim amru hol vihivchus tamean hareza chayev mashalim mashivchus midmean. But midrabanon, since you did cost someone money, so you're going to have to pay for it midrabanon. Very clearly, paskening like Rabbi Yochanan. This is the point that made before the Chiddush HaRim points out, that even though it's a knas, we still collect it bizman hazeh, because even though we don't have dayanim smuchim, this is an unusual knas. This is a knas midrabanan that we would still apply bizman hazeh. It's an unusual knas in the sense that it's not really a knas. Meaning knas is defined as different from mamon, and we just discussed recently in the daf that mamon is when there's a direct correlation between the damage done and the amount paid. So if I broke your windshield and it cost $300 to fix, I pay $300. That makes sense because that's how much it costs. If I a knas is when there's no correlation. I speed 15 miles per hour over the limit, Scott, you could probably tell me what it is. So I get, I'm going to get a $100 ticket. I go 30 miles per hour, or let's say 29 miles per hour over the limit, I get a $150 ticket. I go 30 miles per hour over the limit, and I get, whatever, a $300 ticket and all the points or whatever, unless I hire Scott to get me off. So I get all these, right? So why? Did I cost the city, the town, the village, the county, whatever, more money by going that one extra mile per hour? It's got no correlation to any money. It doesn't cost them any money. It has nothing to do with money. What it has to do with is a knas. It's just a, by hezek shein and nikra, this knas is not really a knas. Meaning that this knas is a mammon. I've cost the person his item. We know exactly why I'm paying for, exactly how much I'm going to have to pay, and how much I'm going to have to pay is not a set amount every time. It depends on what item I damaged, how much it was worth. So it's a mammon type of knas. We're only calling it a knas because it's a din d'rabbanan. But it's a din d'rabbanan, not because not because the guy didn't lose. He did lose, but since it wasn't a physical damage, so it manages to skirt the technical definition of damage. But it is a mammon payment. Now, certainly everyone agrees you're not allowed, even if you hold mita or raisa, you're not going to be chayv to pay. Everyone agrees you're not allowed to do hezek shein and nikra. It's an awful thing to do. Is it an issur d'oraisa or is it an issur d'rabbanan? It's machlokas rishonim. The Yad Raman, Maseches Gittin, writes that it's an issur min haTorah. What issur? So we have to remember back to Rav Feldman's shiur from last week where he discussed what is the issur of damaging anyone ever? And it's not so passionate what the issur of damaging anyone ever is. He gave that mashal. I love the mashal. But you walk over to someone's car with a sledgehammer in one hand and a checkbook in the other. So is there anything you're doing wrong when you sledgehammer the car and then you write the checkbook? You write the check to pay for it. So is there? Did you do anything wrong? So that we assume that there is some issur in damaging. The Torah never makes it clear what that is. You definitely have to pay, but what's the iser per se? So by hezek shein u'nikra, says the Yad Ramah, the iser is v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. You wouldn't want someone to do something that annoys and frustrates you, so don't do something that annoys and frustrates somebody else. Okay, v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha includes like almost everything, includes a lot of things, so it's a very non-specific iser of doing hezek shein u'nikra, but there are nafkaminas in it being v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha as opposed to being some specific iser of doing damage. For example, what if? Well, let's take the other side first. If you look at Rashi in Maseches Gittin on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, Rashi in source number 3, Metamei Medameya, Isura Drabanan Hu. Rashi says it's only an iser Drabanan. So now Rashi doesn't say Chayiv Midrabanan. That you're only Chayiv to pay Midrabanan. He says Isura Midrabanan Hu. That it's only usher to do midrabanan. On a daraisa level, apparently, the Torah has no problem with you taking your sheretz and going to be mitame everyone's truma. Could that be? Is it not at least a violation of v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha? Of unas tvarim or something, losonu, the Yad Ramah suggests, that you're not allowed to annoy people or be mean to people. So isn't it a violation of that? So the Maril Diskin in a tshuva points out that maybe there's enough kamina to the fact that it's only v'hafta l'reicha kamocha. What if I'm doing it because it benefits me in some way? I'm not doing it stam to be mean. I'm doing it because for some reason there's somehow, by me being menaseich this yayin, or by me being medameh this truma, somehow I'm going to benefit a great deal. I can't think right now of tav mehel v'tzi or of a case where that might happen. But somehow I stand to benefit a great deal by doing this hezek shein u'nikra. So it could be that it's not a violation of v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha, because we understand that chayecha kodmim, that if it's me against you, I'm either going to lose or you're going to lose, that I don't have to put you in front before me, right? Chayecha kodmim, my own interests can come first, so it may not be a technical violation of v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. So maybe that's where Rashi was saying that it's only inisa d'rabanan. But midor raisa, it would be mutter. But when I don't stand to benefit, I'm just being mean and being matami someone's truma, that would in fact be inisa d'raisa. Now, let's get to the main point of what I wanted to talk about, because I realize I'm more than halfway done. We didn't get to it. What does hezek shein u'nikra mean? What's not recognizable? There's two major shitos in Rishonim, and there's potentially a third shita in Rishonim That's more of an outside shita. It's not normally quoted as one of the basic shitas. The Ramban, and this is Rav Elchanan made this Ramban famous. The Ramban is in Kuntrastina de Garmi. Rav Elchanan in Kovetz Shurim and Rav Basra Os Yud discusses this Ramban and how it differs from Tosos. And the Ramban writes that Hezek Shem Nikra is pretty much the way we've probably been defining it since the beginning of this year, which is that you didn't do physical damage to the item. The item hasn't physically changed. Right? If you're metami, it's still, the same exact item. Nothing has changed on the molecular level. Nothing has changed whatsoever in the item itself. I might see the guy being metame it. I could see that there is damage there. Or let's say the example that Gemara Bava Basra says, I see klayim growing right next to it. I see grapes and wheat growing right next to each other. So I see that that's usher. Because anyone who knows that there's an isser called kilei akerem knows that when the grapes and the wheat are growing right next to each other, that's an isser. That's a problem. You could put the picture on mute, and I can still see that that's a problem. But still, that's called hezek she'eino nikar. Why? Because physically the wheat is still wheat. Physically the grapes are still grapes. Physically everything is intact. So if everything is physically intact, everything is physically unchanged, says the Ramban, that's hezek she'eino nikar. Even if someone looking at this situation on mute will be able to tell you, yeah, there's a damage going on there. There's a problem going on there. But physically the item remains intact. That's hezek she'eino nikar. And it sounds that way from the Rambam also. The Rambam in source number 2 we read before, Hamazik mamun chaveru hezek she'eino nikar. So how does he define it? Hoel v'lo nishtana hadavar v'lo nifsida tzuraso. What makes it a hezek she'eino nikar? It hasn't changed. It hasn't lost its shape, its image, its basic structure. So the Rambam is saying is that since physically it's the same item, that's called hezek she'eino nikar. Now that is very different from Tosos. Tosos in Maseches Bava Basra says that hezek she'eino nikar has to be that if you're watching the picture on mute, you're watching a movie of the damage happening without any commentary of what exactly is happening, you're just looking at it happening, you would not be able to tell that there's actual damage going on. That's hezek she'eino nikar. So what does that mean? What? So how does he learn? What are the only examples the Gemara gives of hezek she'eino nikar? Metame, medame, menasech. Right? So menasech, l'shem avodah zarah. So you're not being menasech. I don't know what he's having in mind when he's pouring the ayin, whether he's doing l'shem avodah zarah or not. So if he gave a running commentary, that's why the picture's got to be on mute. Or he's metame. So Tos says, well, don't you see? He's got a sheretz and he's putting it under the... But I don't know that the food is huchshel lekabel tuma. In order for food to become tame, it has to first come into contact with one of the seven liquids. If it never came into the yad shech adam, any of the seven liquids, then it can't become tame. So I don't know that that food is huchshel lekabel tuma. Maybe that food never touched water before. And therefore, by touching that sheretz on the food, he's doing nothing. So that would be hezek she'eino nikar. I see him mixing wine of truma with wine of chulin. The bottles aren't labeled truma and chulin. It's just wine. He's mixing wine. So even looking at the picture on mute, you wouldn't know that the damage is even happening as it's happening. That's called hezek she'eino nikar. Now, it turned out, Rav Shlomo Zalman points out, there's this very long tshuva here from Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Shlomo Zalman points out that what if he took a sheretz to wine and he touched the wine or to a liquid? So the halacha is that a liquid doesn't need to become hechshel lekabel tuma first. So if a guy takes a sheretz and touches it to a liquid, then you see the damage right in front of your eyes. Even on mute, you'd see the damage. So it turned out, according to Tosfos, if you see him touch, if a guy takes a sheretz, it comes out very strange. That if a guy wants to be mean and he wants to destroy his neighbor's truma, so he goes over to his bread, chita's chayiv in truma midoraita. He goes over to his bread and he takes the sheretz and he sticks it on the bread midoraita. He's putter because that's hezek she'eino nikar. But if instead of going to the bread, he moved over a couple of inches on the Shabbos table and went to the wine and touched the sheretz to the wine, he'd be chayiv because that's hezek nikar. Chayiv midoraita because that's hezek nikar. It's the same intention, the same result. He's definitely being metame the bread. He knows that this bread is hukshul lekabel tuma. It's the same everything. But because on mute, when you look at the picture, you would know that he's being metame the wine. You wouldn't know that he's being metame the maichel. So therefore, it's going to have a different halacha on a doraisa level. A startling chiddush according to Tosos. Now, according to the Ramban, In neither of those cases is he chayiv midaraisa, because he didn't physically change the wine, nor did he physically change the bread. So on a daraisa level, he's not chayiv at all. Again, midarabanan for doing it b'mezid, you are chayiv midaraisa. In neither case is he chayiv. So that's Rosh Hashanah Zalman's ha'ara, which it's, he says it as a ha'ara, but it's really a kasha and tosos, because it comes out, it's like a very strange result to land at. He also points out, what if it wasn't a sheret that was touching the food? What if a person was a zav? He himself is tame. The guy is tame. And he goes around touching everything. So that would turn out to be, even on a liquid, that would turn out to be a hezek she'enu nikar. Right? Even if he's touching the wine. Because I don't know that the guy is tame. You can't tell if the guy is tame by looking at him. It's not something that you can see. It's sheret. You know what the shrat, what the shmona shratim are. You know what's able to be metame. So that's the approach of Tosfos. So again, we have the two major approaches in terms of defining hezek she'enu nikar are the Ramban and Tosfos. And it's important to remember, because I just want to go through some cases that might be nafkaminas and try to flesh out whether they are nafkaminas and how they would practically play out according to Ramban and Tosfos. So again, the Ramban, if the object hasn't physically changed at all, that's hezek she'enu nikar. But if it's physically changed, that's called nikar. And Tosfos, nothing to do with physical change, has to do with looking at a picture of the damage. Would you be able to identify it as damage? Now, there is a third approach, and that is attributed to the Me'iri and Gittin Daf Mem. The Me'iri, you have to read every line of the Me'iri and every word carefully to see it clearly in the Me'iri. But I just saw Rav Zilberstein in his Chashuk Echemet quotes this from Rav Elyashiv in the name of the Dor Revi'i. The Dor Revi'i, I think we once discussed the Dor Revi'i, very fascinating sefer. The Dor Revi'i is called the Dor, whenever a sefer has a name like that, it's like, well, why would you call your sefer the Dor Revi'i? Dor Revi'i is a strange name for a sefer. So he explains, he's a fourth generation from the Chassam Sofer. And he was very proud of it. So he called it the Dor Revi'i, being the fourth generation. Great Sefer on Maseches Chulin. His Hakdama is the most famous part of the Sefer, his introduction to the Sefer. He was a Rav in, I believe it was in Satmar, and he was a big Zionist. So they threw him out of the community, and then Rav Yelish took his place. So that's how Rav Yelish got his start as a Satmar Rebbe. So anyway, the Dor Revi'i was a very, very Chashva Talmud Chacham. And Rav Elyashiv quotes in the name of the Dor Revi'i that it's a very similar idea to the Me'iri, that any time the damage is not a physical damage at all. It's meaning the damage that's happening is metaphysical. It's halachic damage. Whether you can see it on a mute screen or can't see it on a mute screen, just the fact that it's halachic damage, that is not physically doing anything. Now, this is a little bit different than the Ramban. Because the Ramban was saying is that the item hasn't physically changed at all. According to this, even if the item has physically changed, but it's not physically damaged. It may have physically changed, but it's not physically damaged. The only thing that's damaging about it is that there is a halacha. Like, what if I mix basar and chalav? So it's physically changed, because now there's basar and chalav. So there's a physical change to the item, but it's not physically damaged. It's only metaphysically damaged, it's only halachically damaged. And Rav Elyashiv says in the name of Dor Revi'i, this is based on the fact that all hezek is based on the pasuk Makah Behem Yishalmena, so it has to be something that would apply equally to Jews and non-Jews. It has to be something that everyone could realize that would be called damage. Now, but leaving aside that third possibility, let's stick with Ramban and Tosos. Some nafkaminas. Poskim discuss each of these nafkaminas. Let's say there's a dead body, and it's not nice, it's covered in mace, leave a dead body just exposed. So what do we always do if there's, hopefully you don't have too much experience with this, but when these things come up, what do we do? Well, first, there's a whole protocol of what you do. You open the window a little bit, you put the body on the floor, there's a whole thing, and you cover the body. You don't want to leave the body just exposed. So let's say I decide that I'm going to cover the body with your clothing. So I'll take something that belongs to you, doesn't belong to me, and I'm going to cover the body. Now the mace is kona, whatever, you can't get enough from anything that was used for the tzorach of the mace already. So it's going to be, say goodbye to whatever you're using to cover the body, right? So if I use your item to cover the body, So is that called Hezek Sheina Nikr, or is that called Hezek Nikr? Now again, on a Drabbanan level, I'm going to have to pay anyway. Because even Hezek Sheina Nikr you pay for on a Drabbanan level, assuming you did it b'mezid. Well, let's say I did it b'shogeg. I didn't know. I wasn't thinking. People aren't always thinking when there are dead bodies around. You know, so I think I just grabbed something. So Nusso, according to Tosfos, let's start with, where do we start with? Ramban. According to Ramban, well, the blanket that I used to cover is still a perfectly good blanket. You'd ask anyone, you know, they probably want to run it through the washing machine maybe before they use it again. No, it's a perfectly good blanket. There's nothing, it hasn't physically changed a single bit. So according to the Ramban, that is a prototypical classic example of Hezek Sheina Nikr, because you can't see anything wrong with it. According to Tosfos, though, what? What do you mean, same as wine? Right, I mean the same as being metame the wine, not being menaseh the yain. Right. Yeah, so it's obvious that you're being metame the clothing, meaning some people know a dead body. Unless it's a, you can't tell if it's a meis yisrael or meis akum, but even meis akum are metame b'maga. And are they also, does anything come in contact with it become masu bahana by meis akum? I'm not sure. Gotta look that up. Because maybe if you can't tell if it's meis akum or meis yisrael, maybe that would be different if the halacha is different by a meseyakum. I'm not sure if the same halacha applies by a meseyakum. I don't know. Got to look in Yaradeya. It's like one of those halachas that I probably saw when I was learning Yaradeya, but I thought, when's that ever going to be nogeya? You know, just go right by it. That's when you meet gedolim. That's always the thing that impresses me most when I meet gedolei Yisrael. Those halachas that I've seen like a few times, but just like you know. That doesn't come up, so you just like forget the attention to detail that, like, you know, Gedolei Yisrael have. Every time I talk to Rav Shachter, like what he remembers, just like the details. Like, why would you remember that from that Gemara? But okay, so that might be one nafkamina. So this is that's an interesting discussion. Another nafkamina. What if potential nafkamina? What if a sofer, you hire a sofer to write a mezuzah for you, and he didn't write the Shemos Hashem l'shma. Or to write a Sefer Torah, make it even more exciting. Mezuzah, okay, $60, you get another one. Write a Sefer Torah, for $60,000, you'll get another one. He didn't write the Shemos Hashem L'Shma. So is that a Hezek Nikr or a Hezek Sheina Nikr? So that's got to be Sheina according to everyone, right? What? Even Tosfos would say it's Hezek Sheina Nikr. What about according to... Yeah, even the Mi'iri, right? So that would not be... So why is that a discussion? Maram Shik has that in the Tshuva, and he calls it a Hezek She'ein on the... the Avnei Nezer has the following svara. He says, what if the guy was writing, it was an apikoros? And he's a known apikoros. He's a famous apikoros. So anyone seeing it knows, obviously he's not doing it l'shma. He's an apikoros. So according to the Ramban, it would not be nicker at all, because it's physically, it's perfectly fine. It could be a perfect Sefer Torah. But according to Tosfos, it would be a problem. What's the hezek? You ask, it's stam, not a nice thing to do. What's he damaging? So what he's damaging is your klaf. You had a perfectly good klaf, and the klaf is not going to be as good once you have to scrape off all the letters to reuse it a second time. It's not going to be as clean and as clear. So that's what he'd be damaging. The Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld has in the tshuva the following case. What if you left somebody's food under the bed? In camp, this is always an issue, because where do kids put all their visiting day food? They keep it under the bed. So there's an issue with keeping food under the bed, reich ra, some sort of ruach ra, rather, that comes on to food under a bed. So they say, if it's sealed or whatever, so there are different heterim. But let's say exposed, and you better not do that in camp, because there are bears in the bunk, but exposed food directly under the bed, and someone slept in it. It's a discussion in Poskim, Debrezina as a tshuva, if you have food under a stroller, and the baby slept in the stroller the whole time. So do you have that same rach rach? Okay, Leibedik discussion. So if you look in source number 9, at the very end of the packet, Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, in his tshuvas Toras Chaim, he has two sets of tshuvas. There's Salmas Chaim, and there's Toras Chaim. He writes, Uba'ochum takas amita. Kivin says hiru al zeh ve'inu choshesh la'zhar b'zeh yadu chazal sheish resus l'ruach ra, that chazal were aware of some ruach ra that could happen. L'kach hichmi ar gra zeh chazal l'vrach l'chayel v'ba av l'ani azdaiti hu b'davar shu shalom. That's only if it's yours, your food. That's where the ruach ra will happen, says Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. V'im echod yikach mishal chavero below daito, v'idam tachas amita. If I take your food and I put it under my bed without your permission, me'achar shekanira habezin l'yuchlu l'chayvu l'shalem, tavikezek shenu nikr, he says, since Bezin will not be able to be mechayev you to pay for doing that, because it's hezek shenu nikr, shuv gam haruach ra in l'rushus l'zdabik bo. That Ruach Ra will not have permission to connect to such food. Okay, leaving out that cheshbon, or what in the world that means. But he's making an assumption that Bezin would never be able to be mechayiv you on this, because this is hezek sheino nikr. Well, why is it geneva? I didn't. Okay, but my bed's right next to it. It's in the bunk. It's in the public, right? So it's. I didn't intend to keep it. I'm not stealing it. It's in a safe place. But they can't, because hezek sheino nikr, he calls it. Why is it hezek sheino nikr? Now, according to the Ramban, I understand very well, the food looks the same, tastes the same, everything's exactly the same. According to Tosfos, though, l'chor is a hezek nikr. You see a person sleeping on top of food, so on a bed, on top of food. So that's exactly what the Ruach Ra is. So if you have Chaim Zonneveld, it's a very strange cheshbon that he has, but the cheshbon relies on an assumption. It relies on an assumption that it's hezek sheino nikr, and therefore, since they can't be mechayev, so if they can't be mechayev, then a ruach ro would never be able to do anything. Rav Zilberstein discusses: you take sterilized instruments, right, that a surgeon would use, and you just take them out of the packages. The instruments are perfectly good; they're perfectly, they look the same; they're just as sharp, and they're shaped exactly the same way. But no one would ever use them, because you've ruined them by taking them out of their packages. Why? How have you ruined them? You can't see it. You can't. So now this becomes an interesting one. Now, if I see someone doing that, let's take Tosa's picture of looking at the story happening. I see someone doing it. I know that's a problem. That you can't do that, and that's going to ruin them. Take the Ramban. That are they physically changed? So if the Ramban means, are they physically changed, so this is hard. How do you, normally, halacha ignores microscopic things. Things that you can't see, normally like you're not allowed to eat bugs. But microscopic bugs you're allowed to eat, because otherwise you wouldn't be like allowed to breathe, right? So you're allowed to eat microscopic bugs, things that you can't see with the naked eye. You can't see anything wrong with the naked eye on the these instruments. But they'll never use it, and you know that they'll never use it. So the poskim that I saw, Zilberstein, when he talks about this, Shaila assumes as a davar pashut, I saw other poskim also, assume as a davar pashut that according to the Ramban, that is called a physical damage. Because it is physically changed. It may be physically changed on a microscopic level, but this is not the same as microscopic bugs. This would be a different situation. Now, according to the Meiri, that third approach that we had before, that hezek sheino nikr is metaphysical halachic damage. So even if you were to say that the Ramban's criteria of physical damage, of physically changed, hasn't been met because it's all microscopic, but it's certainly not halachic damage. So according to the Meiri, this might be the place where Tosfos and the Ramban agree, but the Meiri will be on the other side, where the Meiri will say that it's not halachic damage, it's something else, and therefore maybe that would be hazak shein nikr. Other posts can discuss sticking a milchik spoon in a fleshik pot, all sorts of labor the cases of hazak shein nikr. Fascinating topic.